Ladies and gents, welcome to another episode of Optimize Your Body podcast. Got another great guest on today, and she goes by the name of Astrid Naranjo. Is that how I'll pronounce it?
Perfectly.
Naranjo. Okay. Astrid Naranjo is a clinical dietitian and has a master's degree in nutrition and dietetics practice from Bond University, Australia, along with a bachelor's degree in nutrition and dietetics from the Central University of Venezuela. She specializes in emotional eating, women's health, polycystic ovary syndrome, PCOS, and sustainable physique transformations and fat loss, binge eating, and creating a healthier relationship with food and overall well-being. How are you doing today, my friend? That's a great resume there.
Thank you so much. I'm doing really well. I'm just woke up on this other side of the world, so ready to rock and roll and do another day, one day at a time.
100%. So speaking of the other side of the world, you're obviously located in Australia now. You live just up in Queensland. I'm down in New South Wales, just for the audience, because most of them are in America. And you're from Venezuela originally though, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. How long have you been in Australia?
About 11 years and a half.
11 and a half years.
Yeah.
Okay. Wow. That's a long time, actually.
It's been a while. Yeah. I came here, just decided that I would do my master's degree, and then we sort of decided, my partner and I, to stay. And basically since then, we've just been here in the same place.
Amazing. Hey, I'm just curious to know, Venezuela, right? Because last time I checked, Caracas. Are you from Caracas?
Yes, I am.
Okay. Forget about the pronunciations now. People know what I'm talking about. I heard last time I checked, it had like the highest murder rate in the world, the city and stuff. So it's not safe there, right, in Venezuela. I think it's got worse, haven't it, since you've been in Australia?
To be honest, I'm not sure if it's gotten worse or better, because a big number of people have migrated all over the world, so it probably is safer now. No idea, and I haven't gone back, so I wouldn't be able to tell if there is any difference. I just won't go back.
Got it. And the lifestyle here, right, is so good, isn't it, in Australia?
So good. Yeah, so different.
We're living the dream. So I'd just like to get in. I'd love to know, first and foremost, what kind of got you into this field? Because I know you've been studying for a long time. So I would guess that you've been passionate about nutrition, dietetics, all that kind of stuff, fitness, health, for a long time. But I'd love to know what got you into that.
Well, it is a very long story. When I decided to do my master's degree, or even before that, I did my bachelor's degree back home. So it was a bit of a tug of war between me studying medicine, physiotherapy, or nutrition. So I was in that sort of like in between, what should I do? So I kind of like had to discard medicine because I thought this is going to be way too long. I need to study at least for 7 or 8 years before I ever get to actually work as a medical professional. And this is just going to be super, super tedious. And on top of that, I couldn't see blood because I would faint. So I don't think that was a good idea or good match for a doctor. So I said, look, I like physiotherapy, but the other thing about physiotherapy that I am not very good at is physics and math and geometry. And look, no. So dietetics was like my best option because I was passionate about nutrition, and I also was really in love with all nutrition related and fields and fitness and everything. The only problem is that I didn't know how much nutrition actually meant to me or how important it was, because I only thought the studying dietetics, it was just about doing and designing diets for clients and patients. But actually, it's so, so more, much more profound than that. And it is really filled with a wide range of options to do and to work on. So that was one of the reasons. And in addition to that, because I started on my journey, my fitness journey, when I was 12, 13 years old, I pretty much got into understanding that there was a lot of gaps and there was a lot of a huge need for doing a much better job when communicating nutrition to people. And like, you would meet personal trainers that would just give you a generic diet that they would do for older clients exactly the same. And I just didn't, like, something within that didn't match properly to what my expectations or my understanding for nutrition should be if you want to make something sustainable without developing eating disorders and those kind of things. So at that point in time, I didn't know anything about eating disorders, but there was an intuition, something within me that was like, there must have to be something that you do in a much more professional way and in a much more individualized way, because I can't believe everyone should have the same diet based on following a paper that has the same exact breakfast, lunch, and dinner, when we are also different in terms of likes, dislikes, activity, genetics, and way more things that you have to consider when it comes to following a meal plan, or whether even a meal plan is the right thing to follow or appropriate to start with. So that's a bit of my rational why I decided to do nutrition, but there is a big long story as well behind it. So yeah, I could speak about my story for hours.
No, but that's amazing though. I love that mindset, not the mindset, just the outlook that you have on it, because that's wisdom. The way you're talking now, that's wisdom. You can see you've got all the qualifications. You're super in the know when it comes to the dietetic stuff, nutrition, all that kind of stuff. But more importantly, you've got that wisdom. And you mentioned about, you know, people sticking to meal plans. And I wanted to touch on this today, right? Because behaviors and habits, right? I'm sure you've noticed that, because anyone can get, there's so many kind of people out there who are maybe hiring a coach, or even online, you can just get diet plans, you can get training plans. But like you said, it's not individualized. And there's so much variance from person to person, especially when it comes to nutrition, right? And it's one thing giving someone a meal plan. I think it is helpful sometimes to have that structure. But the bottom line is, it's all about the behaviors and habits when it comes to, for example, sustainable weight loss and everything else. So I'd love to just pick your brain a bit on how much you've learned about that, about the importance of behavior change when it comes to people getting sustainable results, as opposed to having a diet plan, for example, to follow, but them not really being able to implement the right things to make permanent change, if that makes sense.
Yeah, one thing that I always say, and that actually has, I've developed a guidebook that is going to soon come out around the perfect trifecta. So you can have the perfect training and the perfect nutrition, but if mindset, habits, behaviors are not in the right place, then anything perfect when it comes to nutrition or training is going to fall apart, because it is not enough for you to actually be in a good place for a sustainable approach that is going to last enough or long enough for you to look for results for the rest of your life. So to me, mindsets, behaviors, habits play a huge important role in the ensuring that anything that you try to change within your nutrition or in order to achieve a specific goal that is in some way related to your health or your physique, you need to implement and make these changes within your, like, including your habits, behaviors, and mindset, if you want this to actually work. So to me, when it comes to behavior change, it is not as simple as it sounds. It takes long time. It takes repetition. It takes the attitude to wanting to make this a permanent change. Because when we try to change behaviors or habits, is when we understand that there are so many things that are rooted within our past or the things that we do on a regular basis, that some of those are maladapted or just old repetition of things that we learned in the past that are not serving us any longer or had never served us to begin with, but we just learned it from someone, or that was the only thing that we knew how to do when we wanted to implement something or do a certain activity. So when I think about this behavior change, it truly makes sense to allow yourself the time, the compassion, and the grace to be okay to fuck up and to make mistakes, and being able to understand that that's part of the learning curve for you to change to a point where you no longer have to repeat the old same patterns that you used to do before. So my point is, it is going to take a long time, much longer than if you just do a very quick, drastic fix that is only like all or nothing. You either do this extreme or you don't get results. But never is thus this extreme, is always something in between. But that something in between takes much more effort, patience, and time for that to be achieved successfully.
Yeah, you said something then about it taking time and having time, compassion, and grace. I like that, because that is, it's mindset again, right? It's that mental resilience of accepting that you go into fuck up at times. It's like anything in life, right? You're going to fuck up, but do you bounce back and keep going? And do you have the right approach, which is sustainable, which I want to touch on? But I heard something recently, and apparently to turn a behavior into a habit, it's a massive gap, right? It's anywhere between 18 days and like 240 days, huge gap, right? So obviously depends on the behavior. So I would assume, for example, if we're talking about having an extra glass of water a day, for example, might be towards the shorter range, depending on the person, of course, always depends on the person. It could be, let's just say, a month, 2 months. But if it comes to maybe training at 5 a.m. in the morning, changing the time you train to 5 a.m. in the morning, being consistent with that forever, you're probably looking at a bit longer, probably, you know, 3, 6 months, maybe even longer. Who knows? Depends on the person. So it just goes to show it takes a long time to turn a behavior into a habit where it's automatic, right? And I know you've worked, do you still, by the way, I know you've got the BioLane shirt on. By the way, shout out to Lane Norton. I know you're competing for a comp now. I actually followed his comp book, Dr. Lane Norton's comp book, leading up to my last comp that I did up in Queensland where you're at. And it was awesome. It was the first time I ever kind of prepped myself. Are you still working for him, or was that, I mean, are you still doing some stuff with him as a master coach or still affiliated at all?
Yeah. I'm part of Team BioLane.
Awesome. Awesome. How is that anyway? Just, you know, for the audience, you know, Dr. Lane Norton's a huge name. He's actually one of the guys who've really, I don't want to say, I would say like pioneer really in terms of bringing out proper information, right? And helping people, helping guide people on the right path, you know, research based as well all the time. But how's that been anyway, working within his team? And I'd love to know kind of like what you've learned on that journey.
It's been great. I've been working in the team since 2021. So it's been, I think I'm one of the longest within the team that has stayed there. We have two other coaches that they left the team and they came back recently. So we sort of like got this part of the team that is kind of reunited. But at the same time, I think it is great that we have all these coaches on board, and with sort of like really working as a team. Sometimes it's just like bounce ideas back and forth, or just getting the support that you need that you don't get when you're working by yourself. So that is something I enjoy. And the fact that we're basing our coaching in principles of empathy, but also accountability, and that we really want our clients to feel supported in all the ways that we want them to be, to feel supported, but also give them the right to feel accountable, but also supported and heard. So I am enjoying my journey here. I've learned, like, you do 90% of what you have to be doing with your clients. But like the systems that they have to be put in place to work in a team, the referrals and all of these other things that are more technical within a company is what makes it a little bit more dynamic. And you get to do the part that you enjoy, which is coaching, for the most part, rather than stressing so much about a lot of the little details that being a solo coach or entrepreneur makes it. So yeah, I don't know if I answered your question.
No, you did. That was really well explained. But going back to what we were talking about then with sustainable weight loss, I'd like to talk on that. In fact, one of Lane's research, one of the studies that he brought out, it was, I think, 50% of people gain all the weight back they lost within 1 year, and 85% of people or more gain all the weight back they lost within 3 years. A recent study came out, which was like 95% of people gain all the weight back they lost within 1 to 5 years. And he shared some awesome, you know, some, again, research-based stuff talking about all the stuff I actually talk about the clients, but he brought a few to my attention that I wanted to pay more attention to, just simple things like pre-planning, right? People overcomplicate things, I find, when it comes to getting in shape, because it's all about what we said, it's behaviors, habits, and routine, and locking those things in so you're making permanent change, 1 to 2 things at a time. But for example, pre-planning, simply, you know, looking ahead at the menu, if you're going to a restaurant, planning your meals, scheduling your workouts in, or making sure that you've got some structure in terms of, you know, how many times you're going to train, which days you're going to train, and planning ahead of that. And then also, you know, goal setting. Also, just what you said then about, you mentioned the word empathy. Encouragement is really important. We all know the importance of social influence. He found in that study that I think encouragement obviously helps people achieve way higher results and way higher success rates with sustainable weight loss. Whereas criticism on the other side is the opposite. And then obviously people weighing themselves and seeing their weight go up a little bit, getting demotivated and turning into emotional eating, which I know you know all about. But I'd love to get your insight on this with your wisdom, the amount of people you've coached, and also how tuned in you are with like the research and stuff working with the BioLane team in terms of what you think the biggest kind of issues are, or biggest problems you see when it comes to people gaining the weight back they lost.
Biggest thing is that people don't really learn anything when they are jumping on a fat loss phase or a weight loss transformation. Majority of them, 99% of them, are looking for what is the fastest route to lose this weight, not how can I get to there without gaining it back. Or how can I learn the habits, the behaviors, or doing the things that will take me to keep it off forever? So one is wanting to do this, jump on this the quickest journey as fast as possible, get the weight off, and imagining that after that, they can just get back to their old lifestyle. So they don't really have enough time to learn new habits, to think differently, to prep their mindset to be adapted to the person they want to become. So there's no enough time to change their old identity to a new identity, so who they are wanting to become. And the other issue that I find is that there is no diet after the diet. So they diet and then, okay, I am back to 20 pounds lighter. All right, so what do I do now? So no one is really giving them the tools to actually maintain their new goals and their new results. So what I'm talking and what I'm thinking about, what is the issue? The issue is not about weight loss or following a diet, because a lot of people can actually lose weight with no problems. The biggest problem is to maintain what they lost. Because as you mentioned in the couple of the studies that you brought up, is that a lot of people, they lose a weight, but they also regain the weight back. And sometimes they do regain it and make it, and even worse, they regain more than that. And this is just because the strategies that they used losing weight weren't the most appropriate, weren't sustainable. They were kind of like put in place to just create a deficit, but wasn't maybe aligned with the person's lifestyle, their person's preferences. And so it felt like they were doing kind of like a sacrifice, like, oh, I'm losing this weight, but this is like such a hard journey that once you're able to finish it off, you get left with this, I don't know, uncomfortable taste that you need to reward yourself because of all these sacrifices. And then that's where it becomes a problem, because then you have the binge episodes or this unhealthy relationship with food that is that aftertaste of having restricted yourself for so long and not learning how to incorporate a wide variety of foods, or not even needing to cut out certain food groups of your diet, or sugar or carbohydrates or your soul foods, and you could have still reached your goals in a much healthier way, much more sustainable, and not having this dichotomy of good and bad foods or all or nothing mindset. So there are a couple of issues, and I think the biggest one that I am explaining right now is the diet after the diet and how to use the journey not just to follow a meal plan or just do what you're told to do, but learn the strategies, skills, and mindset that you need in order for you to enjoy your journey, learn about yourself, because this is a personal journey that everyone should look for to grow and get better at handling yourself in the challenging situations that life puts at you every single day, rather than being emotionally responsive and act upon emotions, being able to step back, be more analytic, being able to understand how you feel, what is happening in your entire body when there is an uncomfortable emotion, uncomfortable situation or challenging task that you gotta do. And then being able to achieve your goal with a reasonable amount of time that allows you to as well enjoy this journey, learn the skills that you need, and allow your body to process these changes that are happening. A lot of people that I see that have like more than 100 pounds to lose, the problem is that they try to lose it so quickly that then their body is not catching up, their skin, their connective tissue is not catching up with their amount of fat loss or the rate of fat loss. And then you get them losing a lot of muscle, losing a lot of like the tissue there, the connective tissue is not catching up with the rate of loss. So that you see hanging, a lot of hanging and like loose skin. Whereas if you give yourself as much more time and you're able to implement the strategies in a rate that allows your body to go with your body changes, that makes it much efficient and much easier for you to prevent lean body mass losses and reducing, and in the meantime, like actually losing the body fat without putting at risk you losing that amount of lean tissue.
Yeah, that's why it's so important, right? To look at other metrics other than just weight, body composition and everything else. And it's interesting, when I have calls with new clients, you know, it's general population, but it's more kind of like ambitious people, high performers that I work with generally, but it's a mixture of general pop and that kind of individual. But, you know, I ask people on the call a lot of the times, when was the last time you were consistent? Or at least, you know, say 85% consistent, 80% consistent for a whole year, right? So it's, again, it's painting that picture of it taking a longer time and being more patient. But reverse dieting, right? Because what I find myself, I'm not sure about you, generally with most people, when I take an approach of adding, right? Okay, rather than that's doing what you've, especially someone who's struggled with weight loss for a number of years, right, Astrid? And they're coming to me and they've struggled, let's say, for 5-10 years with losing weight, gaining their back, losing weight, gaining their back. And then I straight away restrict their calories. Obviously, the approach makes a big difference in terms of it being sustainable. But I, most of the time, like to have a mindset of, okay, let's have a look at what you're missing. Most of the time, people are under-eating protein. Okay, let's add these foods, more protein, more meat, whatever, for example. And then what I find is, again, when they focus on those kind of behaviors of, okay, I'm going to make sure I eat these foods, depending on the person, of course, naturally, then they tend to build muscle and lose body fat, at least for a period of time, right? For say 1 to 3 months. So their weight might change a little bit, but their body composition changes drastically. And you've probably seen this. I've had like a female client, she gained like 2.5 kilos whilst reverse dieting within the first 90 days, but she dropped, you know, two sizes within her dress. Well, I think one client dropped 2 pounds and she dropped three sizes, went from like a size 10 to size 4. American size, but her weight only changed 2 pounds, you know, and she lost like, I think, 25 inches in total. So there's a lot more to it than just weight as well, right? When it comes to body composition, the approach, and having more protein and those kind of things, right?
There is. I guess we need to put into consideration what is, when we started working with a client, what is their dieting history, but also where they are studying. So if we're considering certain clients like beginners, they're more likely to experience greater degree of change versus someone who is an advanced lifter or someone who's been doing this for a long, long time that may respond slightly slower and differently. So when we talk about this kind of clients that are in their early stages of trying to change the body composition, and they've been dieting for years, you're dieting up and down, but when you look at the diet, you assess the macronutrient distribution, their protein intake, you assess their habits, you assess their training quality, the training volume, intensity. There's like a lot of things that can improve. And if you're able to take this newbie client to be consistent, eating more protein, not slashing their calories to 1,000 or 1,200 calories when they think they felt or they felt they fucked up, or like going all out over the weekends because they only account for diet days Monday to Friday, and then Saturday, Sunday, they just go completely nuts with their nutrition. And it's kind of like, well, everything you did throughout the week is now back to zero, because everything that you could have gotten on Saturday, Sunday, they will just make up for the deficit you have made over the week. So there are so many different things that you, if you're able to get them consistent, implementing a much better training quality as well, like when you're able to assess, well, you were doing 5-6 hours of cardio a week, now we're back to just 1 or 2 maximum, and really getting into the weeds of resistance training and actually training with intention, intensity, technique, the right amount of volume, the right amount of rest. And when we think about all of these things that actually can have a very important impact in body composition, lean body mass retention, you can see how these clients, even having, and it may not be like a huge amount of extra calories, but they will find themselves more consistent, more adherent. And just the fact of doing that and being able to do, as I mentioned, that amazing combination of the good amount of training sessions while you're eating more protein, while you're being more consistent, while you're doing less cardio, and just learning how all of this sort of works in a very beautiful synchronization is when your body changes like inevitable.
100%. And that's what you said then was spot on. If we're talking to the average person who's been yo-yo dieting for a number of years, right? If we're honest, we're talking about the average person. You take them on board, they might have, you know, they might have a bigger reservoir of fat to lose as well. And also they've never taken that approach of perhaps reverse dieting. So they respond way faster. And again, if you can get that kind of person to be consistent, and that's where obviously a good coach comes in, right? You're looking at their lifestyle, you're looking at their previous history, as you say, with nutrition and eating habits. And then, yeah. And what I find then is when I train, I coach some people who are more at an advanced level, like the other kind of person you talked about, and they're just plateaued and they're stuck. And they've done the same kind of thing. They've kind of been overly restrictive and they've got in good shape. But to get to the next level, then again, they need to reverse diet, like at least for a period of time, so they can add some muscle to their frame, get their body burning more calories by itself. I'd love to touch on what you said then about strength training and resistance training, because it is interesting with the research on skeletal muscle, right? Because I think it still points to, I think a pound of muscle will burn about 6 to 13 calories a day. But I'm not sure if you're aware. Are you aware of Dr. Gabrielle Lyons?
Yep.
Yeah. Because she talks about, oh, actually, no, it's not that simple. I'm not going to go too into the weeds there. But from what I've seen and the calculations I've done, it seems like there's way more to it. The whole pursuit of building muscle because we've got the thermic effect of food, like protein, for example. You eat more protein, which gets your body to burn more calories by itself. And we've got, obviously, lifting weights as well, and the whole pursuit of it. And obviously, you get the your metabolism elevated and stuff like that when you're lifting weights. And then having muscle on your body then obviously costs your body more calories just to keep that muscle on your body. But how important do you think that is, strength training and building muscle, when it comes to sustainable, you know, fat loss and results?
I would say something. The muscle itself, as you mentioned at the very beginning, is not like a great source of, like, you don't become like a fat burning machine because you have more muscle. Because per pound, the muscle will burn way less calories than we think they will burn. It's more like the indirect benefits that you will get from being more muscular or having more lean body mass in your frame. So we're talking about when you do have more muscle, you're able to lift heavier. You are able to move more efficiently. You have much more independence, much better conditioning. You have like the capacity to do things on your own rather than assisted. So there are lots of different things that, even though they sound silly, when you actually think about having more muscle in your frame, allows you to just do all of these different things that if you don't have the strength, if you don't have the muscle, if you don't have the balance and all these different functions of muscle mass being on your frame, is what allows you to burn more calories indirectly. And in addition to that, when you consider that when you're trying to build more muscle, there's like lots of other things that are going to contribute for you to be more active throughout the day. So when you're in this journey, you start eating better, you're eating more protein, you feel more satiated. There's like a cascade of things that are going to affect other areas of your life. Like you feel more confident, you feel like you get to sleep better, you get to work better, more efficiently, you want to move more, you want to engage with other activities as well. So all of these things, even though they don't really count as like part of your metabolism or within your body, they are all interacting. We interact with our environment, we interact with our emotions, and all of these things impact our daily activity, our daily movement. And so that will somehow impact their daily energy expenditure and daily energy intake. And this energy balance equation, which is the simplest way that I can explain it, is what is going to dictate whether on the long term, your body composition changes to more body fat or less body fat, to more lean body mass, less lean body mass. So it is all about energy balance, but energy balance is not just a simple equation of calories in, calories out. It's about all these different things that are affecting the environment and impacting the intake and the output. So it is so complex that when we think about habits, behaviors, eating, exercising, sleeping, stress management, emotions, there's like a huge range of things that will be interacting with this in and out equation. And therefore, when we just think about gaining muscle or losing fat, it feels like it is a straightforward answer, but it is much more complex than you think it is.
And that, ladies and gents, that's how you can tell you're speaking to someone who's, one, coached a lot of people, and two, you have wisdom from your own journey as well. And obviously all the education and everything else adds on top of that, of course, but that wisdom and all the work you put into actually helping other people, it comes out, because it's no easy feat, right? Building muscle. And it goes back to what we were saying at the start, turning behaviors into habits. Think about, I was just thinking then about how many behaviors you have to actually turn into permanent habits if you want to continuously just build muscle and get stronger. Sleep, that's a hard one to dial in. I don't know if you see that with clients. Most people are sleep deprived. Having practices in place to get good quality sleep is actually really challenging. You know, preparing your own meals and eating enough protein every day, even those two things alone. Then if you add on top of that, obviously you want to stay healthy, you want to stay lean, you know, movements, like all of these behaviors if you can over a period of time turn them into habits. I've been lifting weights for like 20 years now, and it's not easy, right? Build a muscle. I'm still trying to stack on some muscle, right? It's not an easy feat. So just that one thing within itself, as you say, it's multifactorial. There's so many benefits that you get, going back to what I said about the whole pursuit of building muscle. So that was really, really well explained. So we're running out of time now, right? What I'd like to wrap this up with is I wanted to just keep it on like one topic today, right? Because obviously we had limited time, sustainable weight loss. We've covered that. I'd love to just touch on real quickly. I know this is a whole podcast within itself, but build a muscle reverse dieting. How important do you think it is for most people to at least go for a period of time where they're focusing on that? They're focusing on not focusing, especially people who've lost a lot of weight. And I know it depends on the person, just to focus on building muscle and getting stronger and being consistent with that. From what you've said, it's obviously very important, but I just feel like it should be, in my opinion, if you're looking to lose weight, keep it off, get healthier, live longer, it should be the cornerstone of your training regime, strength training.
Absolutely. I wouldn't agree more with that. Like, you definitely want to, whatever you want to do when it comes to changing physique, or even if it's not about physique, even if it's just about feeling healthier or living longer, being more independent when you get old, all of these things are back to the function, the mobility, and the strength. And most of these things go back to the basics of just learning basic movement patterns. It doesn't have to necessarily be lifting, becoming a bodybuilder, or going to the gym and do everything that you see on social media. It is way more basic than that. It's just learning the basic movement patterns that allow you to be functional, to master some movements that require you full range of motion, that at the end of the day, they simulate a lot of the different things that we do on a daily day, on a daily basis, like putting something overhead or lifting something out of the floor, or sitting down or squatting to the toilet. Like, those basic things are just like the minimal things that we want to be good at, strong at, when it comes to longevity. Coming or like being able to stand up from the floor. If you're laying on the floor, being able to stand up or sitting down. Those are things that are just so basic and people underestimate it. But that is when the first thing they go when you lose function. And when you lose function, that's where we see a lot of people unable to walk, unable to stand, unable to be stable on their feet, unable to be able to just lift their own groceries or putting something overhead. So those things are, you could say they are replication. We can replicate that in on the weight room. And that's where we get stronger, because deadlifts are a way to learn how to take something out of the ground and lift it. Overhead press is basically something that is going to allow you to do so many things on a day-to-day, on a day-to-day basis. Squatting, doing any sort of leg press, these things allow you to be stronger at the hip flexion position to standing up. So there are so many functional movements that are just the basic ones that allow you to plan for life. So, and I'm just talking about longevity, but now when we're talking about resistance training for body composition, you are getting your frame with more lean tissue, with more muscle, contractile muscle that is way more energetically active, but at the same time, it is going to help you over time. Again, the stronger you get, the more you become more efficient at lifting X amount of load, that will make your body different and force your body composition to change. So sometimes spending some time away from dieting also allows you to just focus less on eating less and focus more on what can I do to improve my performance? What are the things that I need to do so I can feel better at the gym and create a PR? get a PR in the first place, or just things that they just improve your quality with, and like the quality of your relationship with your body and food and exercise. Because exercise, for the most part, by a lot of people, is saying like, I get to exercise to lose weight, or I get to exercise to burn calories. But people don't associate exercise with longevity, with function, with just feeling good, with mental health, with just a way to socialize. So there's so much more benefits from the resistance training and exercise standpoint that goes way beyond just using it to spend calories to lose weight. So when you change that switch, you turn off the switch of dieting, and you just focus on, even if it's not gaining, but just maintaining and just reintroduce good habits and exercise, training, having a more active lifestyle, that on its own, without dieting, without taking less, allows you to focus on how can I improve my relationship with food? How can I incorporate all these foods being equal and just being mindful of what nourishes me, what makes me feel good, what makes me have a much better performance versus the things that momentaneously will help me socialize or will help me feel pleasure. So all of these things will have its own time, but it's just having the time to learn about that. But when you're dieting, when you're just focusing over and over on eating less, on changing your body composition or losing weight, and just the scale, if the scale is not changing, then you get frustrated. You don't have the time to actually make things sustainable. At the end of the day, that's the main thing why I say it is totally fine. It is legit to be at maintenance. And if it's not about maintenance, but it's about building muscle itself, you definitely can do that as well. And it doesn't have to be like a huge surplus of putting on body fat, like a lot of bodybuilders tend to portray. It is much easier than that. And again, it will just depend on each person and what are their particular goals. But I have had clients that they just get to not diet without being on a main gain, on a gaining phase or a building phase at all.
Love that. Yeah. And we had some technical issues at the start, right? So just for the audience, I know they're going to be a little bit pissed. They're like, only 45 minutes. Damn, we need some more of Astrid, right? But really appreciate your time. There's so much gold there, right? And what you said was absolutely spot on then. I find that in terms of, if we look at the overall picture, when you get people to pay attention to health, as you say, performance, and getting stronger in the gym, focusing on those important health markers, getting better sleep, all those kind of things, energy levels over time, right? They then start attaching the benefits. Okay, great. So when I show up, it's like someone who's been doing it for as long as me and you, right? For example, mental and emotional health, right? I don't know about you, but yes, we want to look good. I know you have a show coming up and everything else. I think that's what keeps people going long-term generally. But look, let's wrap this up now. I know you got to go. Where can the audience find you? I'll add your stuff in the show notes. Hopefully we can do a part two sometime.
Happy to do part two anytime. I am mostly on my Instagram, antidiet_dietitian. You can also find me in my website, astrid.dietitian.com. And if you want more from what kind of the things that we spoke today, there is a guidebook coming out very soon about how to master weight loss and body composition changes sustainably when you add that trifecta. So you put together mindset, training, and diet. So how all these three things are the best matching strategies to maintain your results long term.
Amazing, amazing. I'll add that into the show notes. Yeah, if you do remember, send me over that guidebook so I can add that to the show notes for people. Incredible. Thanks again. There's so much gold there. It's unbelievable. Thank you.